TLS is go for main engine start.
Go at throttle up. Negative return. And we see a nominal Miko. Welcome to space.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Off Nominal. It's a bit of a weird one today, but I think it's the good kind of weird. So, as you all are aware, Anthony has gone off to become a father or something. I guess that's what he wanted to do. And he and his wife have welcomed a new baby boy into their family. So I gave him the month off. I think he needed some time, but I didn't want, what do they say? The show must go on, right?
Something like that.
So I have some friends with me today to try and get the show moving. So, I'd like to introduce Emily Speck, who's going to be my guest co-host. Hi, Emily.
Hi, guys. I'm so excited to be here. No pressure.
Yeah. Why don't you introduce yourself real quick for anyone who hasn't heard of you? They should have, because you've been on We Martians a few times, but just
a few times. Yeah. Every year you have me and our friend Brendan Byrne on to talk about all things Mars, and you always make us look like chumps because you know way too much. So I'm Emily Speck. I am in Orlando, Florida, where I work for the CBS outlet here, and I cover space. And I just recently launched a podcast. It's called Space Curious. And every week we dive into cool topics that our viewers have submitted questions on. And I try and answer their questions and have experts and astronauts and it's highly edited, so it's not like this. So they don't let me do that many live things, believe it or not. So this is exciting. Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Well, I'm really glad that you are shouldering Anthony's burdens today. And we're going to talk about your podcast later for sure. But I also want to introduce our guests today. So we have two guests. So it's like a party in here right now. This is Anna and Henna from But It Is Rocket Science. Hey.
Hey, Anthony.
Hello.
Hey, Jake. Oh my gosh. I messed up. Hey, Jake. Hey, Emily.
Perfect.
Hey, guys. Oh, man.
We're so happy to be here.
You've now given the Off-Nominal show a whole other definition. It's great. tell us about yourselves and your podcast. We're just want to hear what's the elevator pitch?
Yeah. Anna, do you want to go first?
Yeah, let's do it. Hi, my name's Anna. I am an aerospace engineer, and Henna and I have a podcast called But It Is Rocket Science, and you have to say it with that amount of emphasis and inflection. It's required. Talking about, we are both aerospace engineers, so we try to go down some engineering rabbit holes of a variety of aerospace topics. Break it down for you.
Love it. Cool. Yeah. So that's kind of the theme of this show, I think, is that we have four podcasters on. And it's going to be fun.
It's just a circle of podcasts. You know.
Well, so it's funny because like one of the reasons that Anthony and I started the show was because we were just calling each other and like talking about, you know, hey, let's break down this news that happened. Like, I need to understand this. And so we would just like talk for 45 minutes. And then I was like, you know, we could just record this and it would be a podcast and people would listen to it. And so the secret to this show is that we're just going to talk shop on podcasts and I want to get all the hot tips. And then we're going to pretend like it's entertainment and then they're going to fall for it. That's the idea. So.
I think it's great. Except I think the bamboozle is that Henna and I need some more hot tips.
Yes, same. Also here for hot tips. So sorry, Jake.
Maybe the secret to podcasting is nobody knows what they're doing. We're all just making it up.
That's the key ingredient to a successful podcast.
That's the secret to my life. I just don't know what I'm doing. Yeah. Just make it up as I go. It's worked out.
I like it.
So do you want to do some drinks? I know we've all been kind of waiting to crack these beers in front of us. Anna, why don't you start us off?
Okay. I'm very excited. I have been waiting to open this. I have from Outer Planet Brewing, which I thought was very appropriate. Cool. I'll get it closer. Is it focusing?
Ooh.
I have the Sullivan 626 Saison. So,
I like a good Saison.
Yeah, and then the brewer, one of the brewers who works here is a woman. So I thought that would be good. Yeah.
Represent.
A Saison sounds like it has to be a fancy beer, right?
It's had such a fancy name, but
yeah. Both Anna and I have been to Outer Planet Brewing, and it's really like it's fun. It's space themed inside.
Yeah,
we've got a bunch of space books sitting everywhere. It's a fun place.
Love a good space themed brewery.
There are like quite a few now, I think.
Yeah, like or at least
that's
beers.
Like kind of a thing. Yeah.
I feel like I woke up one day and space was cool, and I am 100% here for that. But I don't know when that happened.
I don't know either. And like they're popping up like all over. Like there's one across the river from me, which is like, I don't know, maybe like 10-15 minute drive from my house. And I'm like, I had no idea this was here. And it's like so close to me. And it's just like, yeah, we're Mariner Brewing. And they've got like all these like galaxy themed things. And oh, it's like they're everywhere now.
So. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Hannah, what are you drinking?
So I made a mocktail for today.
Ooh.
And I have in a spooky cup to welcome fall and Halloween. And I don't think you can see it very clearly, but so it has some lemonade and it has this blue tea ice that I made. And blue tea is a pH indicator. So when it comes in contact with something acidic, it'll change color. So you'd have to like, you can see that's already changing into a purple almost. And as it melts, it'll turn like pink and purple. So I figured it'd be a nice, fun galaxy themed mocktail. Wow.
That is really cool. We'll have to check in on your drink throughout the show and see what color
it is. You can't drink it all until we get to see it.
Yeah, yeah. I love that cup too. That's really cool.
Thanks.
I love that you're doing a chemistry experiment in the middle of
as
the
we were doing this.
Like, I might as well use this time for something else productive too.
Yeah. Multitasking.
I feel like I should have better prepared. Let me go get some baking soda and we'll do a quick interview. That would not go well. I don't
know. Do the volcano one, right? The paper mache.
Yeah.
I love doing that. It's still fun.
Does anybody watch the show AP Bio? Have you guys ever heard of that show?
Oh my gosh, I've seen it.
There's an episode. It takes place at a high school, and there's an episode where they're trying to impress someone, and all the teachers decide to do a volcano to impress like the superintendent, and it doesn't make any sense for most of the teachers to do a volcano, but it's like this trick they have up their sleeve, and I just love it. Like the history teacher one does one, the art one does one, the like humanities teacher does one. They're like, oh, you're never gonna guess what I have, and they all do volcanoes. It's great. I love it.
It's hilarious. It's such a good show.
It is such a good show.
Okay, check it out. What's it called again?
AP Bio.
AP Bio. It's very relatable, Anna. I'm sure you'll be able to relate to it once you see the dynamic.
There are moments people at home.
What is his name from Always Sunny in Philadelphia? I bet someone will comment and call me out for not knowing his name, but it's so funny. Like, really good dynamic. Lucy says to always have like pre-made when you're going to be live on TV. Okay.
Isn't that like liquid stuff?
Yeah.
Liquid? Yeah. Okay.
It's a non-Newtonian fluid.
We're throwing random comments from YouTube up on the screen.
I love
here,
it.
So.
Well, her Benjamin, new show, he's talking about her new show and she does awesome experiments. So
Emily's
that's pretty
Wonder
cool.
Lab.
Yes. We love
yes.
it. Yes. I think the more science we can get out there in the world, the better.
I'm here for it.
She's knocking
it
out of the park for sure. Emily, what do you got?
Okay, so I opened mine because I was nervous that it would explode or something on the internet and then I would be a GIF or something. So this is Robonaut Red Ale. Let me see if
ooh,
I can.
I like the can.
Yeah, it's got space things. There's a spacecraft, a little robot guy. It's a red ale. This is from Playlinda Brewing, and so they're in Titusville. I was over there today and wanted to get something kind of space themed and support a local brewery, but they have two locations and they make good beer. Not mm-hmm. gonna lie.
I'm glad they're still around considering everything going on. So
yeah. And they were decently busy actually. We were gonna go to their one larger location and it was a little too busy for us. So we went to the one that's in an old hardware store in downtown Titusville. And it's
phenomenal.
it's really awesome. Like, yeah, it's good. They were doing good business and that makes me happy. So that's what I got.
That's where me and Brendan went when I was down for Falcon Heavy. We went there a couple times.
Yes.
They had the crazy beer. I'm sure I've told the story like five times in this podcast already, but I'm going to do it again anyway. They had the crazy one. It was like, I think it was strawberry and jalapeno and poblano and
that sounds right. They actually had this one today with peppers in it and I tried it. So this is just a red ale, but they had it with like a pepper aftertaste. It was so good. And they didn't have it in a can, but I would get that again. I'm here for the peppers and the beer. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
Good to know.
I guess that's me then.
Yeah. What do you got?
So I have this brewery is Granville Island Brewery. So Granville Island's like this like hip little tiny little community in downtown Vancouver. It's like just off of the little bay. It's like underneath a bridge. It's like one of those like, you know, trendy marketplaces. They do a lot of like fishing and stuff there. But so they have a brewery, and this is Over and Under Galaxy Hazy IPA.
Ooh. Oh, nice. Ooh, I like how they did the logo. So it's like
Over and Under. It's kind of cool. And nice. It's a traditional Jake size. It's a very big bottle.
I was about to say, you have enough there? Because I'm not
I buy singles like this all the time. I don't buy like packs anymore because there's so much craft beer in this part of the world. So, and it's
craft beer.
Yeah, I don't know why I keep buying hazy IPAs because I always like the older I get, the worse they make me feel. But I love them so much.
Okay.
Yeah. I just like my digestive system's like, it's like, hey, come on, man, you're not in college anymore.
And you're like, I want to hold on to something from my youth.
Yeah.
This is all I have left.
Anyway, so cheers. Welcome, everybody.
Cheers. Cheers.
Yep, still good.
Mine is also good.
All right. Awesome. Podcasts. I want to hear the skivvy. So I want to know worst mistake. We were talking a little bit about this before the start of the show, I think, but worst mistake we've made on a production so far. That's what I want to start with. Because I think that just like any other podcast, space podcasts are ripe for messing up. So Emily, why don't you start this one? I want to hear and I don't know, your podcast is new, but I know you've done a fair amount of recording and different things.
It's new, but it's been in production for almost a year now. So coronavirus, right? And the plan was that a lot of the interviews would be done in person and, you know, it would be all edited and the sound would be all so clean. And now most of my interviews are done via Zoom or Skype. So that's what you get. But so it's been in production for quite a while, but my fail. So I was talking about this before, like I am new to this. I thought when I started this, I'd be like, I got my recorder, I got a mic, I got a couple mics, I got some XLR cords. This will be fine. I'm good. I don't need anything else. And now that, you know, everything's online, I've been recording via Zoom and stuff. And so yesterday I made Jake do like a sound test with me because I just figured out how to use my mic and make it work with my computer. That's the level that I'm at. So, which took a couple YouTube videos to watch. So that was kind of my thing. I don't half know what I'm doing most of the time. But I was mentioning before we started that my fail was I did an interview. It was like such a great interview. It was an hour long with astronaut Terry Burtz. He's an awesome storyteller. I think I've also decided that I only just want to interview astronauts for the rest of my life because they have the best freaking stories. Yeah. So this interview went great. He was like, awesome. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so much sound. Like, I don't know how I'm going to get through all that. I save it. I can't find the file anywhere. So I'm like, well, there goes. That's it. I'm just done. I'm not doing this anymore. I quit. I don't even know how I ended up finding it on my computer. It was like meant to go to another file, but it went to like below deck someplace on my computer where nothing is ever found. And so I found it and I was like, oh my gosh, I was so sweaty and had so much anxiety. I was like, I can't do this. So
you had to like grab your laptop and go into the upside down.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, we're all working from home, right? So I'm like by myself, just talking to myself and my dog being like, oh, I'm so screwed. I can't find this. I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to have to call him back and say, hey, I'm sorry. You remember all those memorable things you said? Please say them all again. Like, so it worked out. But anyways, how about you two?
Hearing that story gives me anxiety.
You're right.
Sorry.
One thing I can remember is when Hannah and I were trying to figure out how to use our mic. We started out, we only had one mic that we were actually able to borrow from someone. And we didn't understand the settings. Like, the ours have like knobs on the back, like cardioid, the different things. So we were watching this YouTube video and this woman is like on this setting. And she was like snapping around the mic being like, it sounds different from different locations. And Hannah and I are like, are we crazy?
Like, I remember this.
Single one of those snaps sounds exactly the same.
Like, yeah, sure. I hear about? It.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yes. So that's the one thing I can think of. I remember like, we have no idea.
Yeah.
Definitely a lot of trial.
At least you're not alone, though. You're experiencing this together, and you're both like, I don't know.
It's a little bit of comfort to be like, you don't get it either, right?
Right. That's nice. That's really nice.
And then I think a huge hurdle, it's not even technical, like technology-based. Hannah and I were actually talking about this the other day, is that we are both very visual learners, and so mm-hmm. much of engineering benefits so much from having an image or a free body diagram. Not being able to have that, I just remember we were trying to record, and I was trying to explain to her what a common dome is, and like I couldn't, because she couldn't see my hand motions. I couldn't show her a picture because I'm trying to just do it over the podcast, and it was just like, she didn't get what I was saying. I was getting frustrated, so then I was making less and less sense. It didn't make me realize how hard just an audio-only platform can be to express
yeah.
what you're trying to get across yeah. effectively.
Absolutely.
To describe things, and oh, for sure. I get that all the time. My editor will come and be like, can you walk me through this? Just talk about it. Just describe it. I'm like, well, it's, I don't know. It's this thing. And he's like, yeah, give me more of that. Like, you know, I'm like, oh God, you know, he's got me out in the backyard looking up at the stars by myself with my recorder. That's going to be in the next episode. So I'm sorry.
No, it sounds amazing.
Maybe. I don't know.
I think that's like one of the like the most common things I've ever said on We Martians is like, okay, I need you to explain something to me. And I know that audio is the worst medium to do it in, but you're going to have to do it anyway. So go.
Really hard. Yeah.
Like, yeah, it is.
Share with your voice.
It takes us extra hours with our research just so we can transform everything we've learned in our research to something that we can explain without pictures. Because while we're doing our research, we're also looking at Google Images ourselves. But the biggest challenge.
Yeah, it's a struggle. I remember I did this, the very first interview I ever did, like years and years ago now. I was like so nervous because it was like my first, like first one, like ever. Like I'd never even interviewed any other human ever. And I didn't even think to like vet the sound quality. I was just like, I can hear him, go, let's do it. And then we just like started talking and his sound was so bad. Like it was just brutal, brutal, brutal. And so I ended up having to like get my audio engineer friend to come and help us out and like save the audio, like with all these like fancy tools. Like he was like running it through the matrix or whatever it does. So that was like my early, early mistake. And I don't know, it's tough sometimes. I did the United Arab Emirates guys that came on to talk about Mars Hope with me, I was having like a real rough time with the latency to Dubai. So like I had three of them on. And so like the software was just struggling and they kept dropping off and we had to do it in like two sessions. And so I think I had like 12 or 15 audio files because everything they dropped out and came back in, it started a new file and I had to like piece it all together. It was like the worst thing ever.
Wow. Yeah. It's a bummer.
That's a really far interview to think about that. Their time difference is what, like nine hours?
Like,
it's like almost a full day.
Yeah, right? I think it's like 15 from me, 12 or 15, so 13 or 15 like that. It's brutal. Like there was like one window we could do the interview. It was like I had to get up really early and catch them before they went to bed kind of thing. So,
well, you're always good about that when you have Brendan and I on. I feel like you're always doing it at like the crack of dawn your time. And we're doing it on a Saturday. And Brendan and I were like, we don't want to get up before 10 a.m. So,
as I'm sure Anna and Henna can attest that when you work in a place that's nationwide, you know, you just kind of, you kind of live on Eastern time, no matter where you are. It can be brutal sometimes. So I get used to it. I just like, I talk to so many people in Emily, your time zone. Like I get up at 5 now. it's not healthy, but that's when I get up. So
I was crazy. Hannah and I met for breakfast this morning at 10 a.m. And I was like, 10 a.m.
That's a nice early time.
All I had to do was get up and drive there to do nothing except eat. And I still was like, 10 a.m.
What'd you guys have? Was it brunch? Anything good? Tell us about it.
We had some delicious pastries. Anna and I, there's this bakery near where I used to work with Anna, and there's another location near me now. And Anna and I just love their pastries. So I went, also whenever I have a friend over, I take it as the opportunity to just get as many snacks as I can.
It's the most amazing host. You'll be like, oh, I'm just going to stop by for 20 minutes. She'll be like, I made a full plate of nachos.
That's great.
Great.
It's like the best excuse for me to eat also, because I know someone else will share it with me and I just won't be stuck at home eating it
like
all
eating
by myself.
Like eating nachos? There's nothing wrong with that. That's true. I do my best grocery shopping when we're having guests. I should pretend like every day of the week we're having someone over. That's the way to do it.
And I yes. got the most beautiful selection of pastries.
Yeah, some pumpkin ones, some orange croissant glazed pinwheels. It was a blast.
Oh my gosh. Very wow.
Very good.
That sounds amazing.
Yes. I think that is one of the things that started Henna and I's eternal friendship.
Yes.
Is our love of pastries and dessert.
Yeah.
That's a great way to start a friendship for sure.
It really is. You know,
Anna's the best friend to get dessert with. She's always on board.
You always have to have someone who's like, do you want to split out a dessert? Come on. I know you do. You do.
Or the person who's like, I guess if you want one, like I can make that work for me.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, but.
Okay. So I have a question for Anna or Hannah. One of you two can take a bite on this one.
Yeah.
So one of the things I like about your show is you have a lot of research heavy ones, and I've done a couple of those. They can be like grueling. I want to know your secret for like time management, because like they seem like they're a lot of work, and I want to know what you've done in the background and how you handle that.
First of all, I would just like to say I have never been so grateful for a statement before. Like, thank you for realizing.
Yes.
We try so hard to make it look like we just, it's effortless and we know all that information, but we don't.
Exactly. As Jake said what he did, I was like, you get it.
Well, it's like sometimes I do like an interview or like even just like off nominal, I could just show up and just like blah, 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 make a bunch of stuff up for like an hour and a half, and then I go away and then it's done. And then sometimes you're like, well, I'll put this other 45 minutes together that's heavily researched and monologue, and it's like 20 hours of work. And I'm like, how is it so disparate? Like, how, I don't understand how it can be so like, am I just that dumb? I don't know. So I wanted to hear about you, because like you've done one like the Apollo one was like really big. You talked about like the lunar lander stuff was like huge. The Mars Hope one was pretty good too. So I just want to hear like I want to hear your secrets.
Hannah, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. So both of us are very good at planning, I guess. Like we have. I'm really glad that I think both of us complement each other in that way. Is that especially for something that requires so much time, that we both have kind of a forward-looking attitude. Whenever Anna and I go on any sort of vacation, we have a schedule. Like, we both are very good about doing that.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we do struggle. Every episode, I'd say, takes on average about, like, 6 hours for me to research easily. Yeah. And what helps is that we both split it up and we go back and forth on editing. So I'll edit an episode 1 week, and then Anna will take the next one, and I'll take the next one. And those weeks, when the other person is editing, we have kind of a breather. I feel like we get burnt out if we were constantly putting in 8 hours a week on podcasting.
Yeah.
That would be a lot.
Yeah. I also think it's that we try to pick top. I mean, we love, Hannah and I are both huge space nerds, as I'm sure obviously both of you are.
You are really
probably
you're in the right spot.
We found our people. We love most every space topic, but picking a topic that you're really interested in makes researching it a lot just more fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're like, definitely. Well, I probably would have read these. Like, I would have read this at night before I went to bed anyway, so I might as well write down what I'm learning. And then,
I was gonna say, is that how you guys pick your topics? Like, you kind of chat it out first and then go from there.
We have like a running list of things we're like, this could be a cool episode one day.
Nice.
And so if we have nothing like on the forefront that we know we want to do, we'll go through the list and whatever is like, ah, that one, that's what we'll do.
We also bring up how we're feeling in terms of just exhaustion, so we'll talk to each other. We'll be like, hey, the last episode took a lot out of me, can we try to pick something that may not require as much research this week? So we're good at like checking in and trying to, we still struggle with it, but it's a, like any other project, it's always a work in progress, I think.
And it's like a good balance though.
It's a passion project.
Yeah. It's good to have those.
Definitely.
Look at this. Bringing up the old website.
Oh, yeah. Whoa. Also, nice. I love your art. Who did the art for your podcast?
Oh my God. Her name is Maggie Horton. She was, mm-hmm. I think she must have graduated a student.
Yes.
A graphic design awesome. Student. And she just,
I love it.
She killed it. It was like the first one. We were like, we would like a feminine looking logo, but we don't want feminine colors. We also want, we like pop art. Like we were like, we didn't
just like threw all the things at her.
Yeah. And it was incredible. No,
it's really awesome.
We got so lucky. We email blasted a university graphic arts department and we get one response. And this one response, this young woman, she is so talented. She meets us at a pizza place, our first, when we go to meet her, and she's like super excited. She's writing out all the notes that we want. And she returns a logo that is beyond our expectations. We were so thrilled when we saw it.
We were like, wow, we don't know how you did that. Because we didn't even know that's what we wanted. But you nailed it.
That's really awesome. I love it. Yeah, coming up with a logo is really, really hard. So for a TV station, you have something called like creative services. So they do our ads and they do our art and like photography and all kinds of stuff. And when we were coming up with a logo, I like had no idea what to say that I wanted. And so the editor that I've been working with on the podcast was like, he was like, just send them stuff that you like. And so I would send them things and then they would try and like turn around the exact same thing. I was like, oh, that's not quite what I'm going for. But, and then they had a logo and then I hated it. And our news director was like, this is the one we're going with. I was like, can we not? Like, so now we got to know a new one that I like.
I really like your logo.
I love your logo. Yeah.
Thanks. Well, and then my favorite one is the pink one. That's always on the episodes. And I'm like, this is kind of fun. It catches your attention. It's not anything like crazy girly or whatever, but it was great.
I love it.
Our team members did it. So it took a little while. The other one was just it wasn't me. You know what I mean?
I like the old school, like hand done cartoon feel it kind of has to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, definitely. Really
like my dog has just joined us, by the way. So, anyways, that's his tail in the background. It's not like a ghost or anything.
Your stories about the graphic design is reminding me. So I get these mission patches made for We Martians. And so I work with an artist in Portland. Her name is Beth Kerner. And I feel like it's the same sort of thing with her where I'm just like, I need like all this stuff. It's got to capture this and this and this and this. And she's kind of like, okay. And then she sends it back to me. And I'm like, what about this? I'm like the worst client. Like I got to be like the.
To be able to do that is a skill. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. So I definitely feel for the graphic artist. Shout out to graphic artists. You are.
For sure.
Really
though. Oh, definitely.
Or just like artists in general. I mean, I can't even draw a stick figure. So.
I'm not very good at it.
Emily, do you want to talk a bit about your research? Because yours is you're very different. You're in the biz. You're like a professional. You got staff and stuff, don't you? What's going on over there with your research? What's going on there?
That's cute, biz. Jake. That's cute. Well, welcome to my very expensive podcasting studio, which is our guest bedroom / my office. So it started out with more help when the idea came about to do the podcast, because I was working in the newsroom so I could turn to different people and have some help. But then once coronavirus happened, I've been working from home since I guess like the second week of March. So then it was really just me and my editor, and he's based in Detroit. Zach Rosen is awesome. He works for Graham Media, and he used to work for NPR, and he's just like, he's really, really great. And so it was really just me and him like doing pretty much everything. Like I would do all the audio, he would do all the editing, and I would write all the scripts. And then recently he just had a baby as well. And so I have a new editor, and Tad Davis, and he's awesome. So it's very low key. My podcast like schedule is on Wednesdays. I do podcast stuff. Like that's my day. So I schedule like, sometimes I'll have like 3 or 4 interviews in one day. I'll try and bust out all my scripts. I try and be as productive as possible on those Wednesdays, because on the other days of the week, I'm writing about not just space stuff, but like coronavirus, Florida man when he does some weird stuff, like your murder, you know, like your average, just like crazy things that happen. So And on my team, we're digital team. We've got, I guess there's six or seven of us now. And so we all have like projects. And so we all take different days of the week to like work on those projects. So it's really kind of awesome that we get to do that. But it's also really hard because on Wednesdays, like we use Slack. I don't know if you guys use Slack or like Teams or anything like that. I have to turn off notifications on it because I'll just see things coming in and I'm just like, oh gosh, another breaking news story. Oh, okay. Oh, you know, I'm like, no, must focus. So that's been hard. But so far it's been working out. So
yeah. Have you recorded a bunch of them before COVID or have they all been?
Yeah. Like,
because you started off with like an interview with Bob Cabana, right?
And that was done in like February. So, a lot of the episodes, like the interviews and things were done like months ago and now I'm just piecing them together. And most of them are actually already done. This next one that's coming out, we just finished editing because there was some research that recently came out that is part of it. So anyways, but
yeah, Venus stuff.
I want to talk about that later.
That's going to be coming in not the next episode, but it is coming because after that happened, I was like, well, guess we're doing an episode about Venus, which Venus deserves multiple podcasts. It deserves its own podcast. Let's just put that out there.
It does.
And if you disagree with me, I don't want to be your friend. That's it.
It needs some spacecraft before it gets a podcast.
It's gonna get some.
It's had, so.
Yeah. It has though. Yeah.
But yeah. That counts for something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So okay, so let's tangent on the Venus stuff because I have something I want to say about it. So
I love this.
Let's hear it. We're ready.
Well, because everyone is talking about like, look at all this cool research. Oh, there could be life there. Phosphine. Great, love it. But everyone's like, this means for sure, like every mission is going to go to Venus now. Like everything else is canceled, and it's just like Venus. And I'm like, I don't know if it's going to make that big of a difference because. Like there's a lot to look at out there in the world and the universe. Yes, and
for sure.
Does this really tip the scales like one paper? I don't know.
It's I have a lot of opinions about this. I have a lot of feelings about this. First of all, I'm going to tell them all to you. I hope you're ready.
Yes.
Let's hear it.
Bring it.
Just because phosphine was found in the atmosphere and on Earth, it is only known to be produced by biological organisms, carbon-based life, biological organisms. That does not mean that on Venus, which is the hottest planet in the solar system, which I remember because one time at trivia, I got that wrong. Venus is the hottest planet in the solar system, that there are probably geological processes that happen there that do not happen on Earth that we may not even be able to reproduce here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the first one. The second one is, if you actually look at that paper, they don't have any pictures of the phosphine that they saw.
It's all like little like light curves kind of thing, you know.
Yeah,
like,
there's nothing.
Spectroscopy, right?
Yeah, it doesn't mean they didn't see it. Mm-hmm. It's just what the picture it didn't happen is what the kids say.
What the kids say. All right.
So there's that. There's also like I have complained to Hen about this so many times. I do not like this idea that as people say that life can only exist. They're like, well, life can exist on Mars. Okay. Life as we know it on Earth as carbon-based life forms could exist on Mars. It does not mean other life forms that have evolved under different conditions, that have evolved to flourish under different conditions, cannot exist on every planet out there. For all we know, right now on Mars, there is aliens that are just avoiding every probe we send out there.
They're introverts.
We don't know that. Like, so we can't say that. Also, I don't know. I think it's really cool. I'm not saying it's not really cool.
Yeah.
I think it's something that should be explored more. I don't want to make it sound like I'm like, nope, not real. Don't look into it. No, I think we definitely should.
Here's the other thing too, is that, one thing I learned about the upcoming decadal surveys coming here, right? So the next 10 years of what the science community thinks we should do in the solar system for exploration. And in the past two that they've done, there's only been two. They put all the sections by planet. So be like, okay, here's the Mars section. These are what you should do at Mars. If we go to Mars, you do this, this, and then this. Okay, here's the Venus section. We should do this, this, and then this. This decade, they're doing it differently. They're swapping it to like areas of study. So instead of a Mars and a Venus and a Jupiter, it's going to be an astrobiology, geomorphology, like all the different like branches of science that you can do out there. And so this Venus stuff would go in the astrobiology section. Mm-hmm. Now ask yourself, like, what are all the things in that astrobiology section? And does Venus really rank higher than them after this? Like Europa, you know, Enceladus, Titan, Mars. I don't know if it does. Like, I think it goes up like one notch, but it is not the top.
Also, to get to the surface of Venus and be able to stay there, Venus's atmosphere is so thick. The greenhouse effect is off the charts.
Yeah.
The surface of Venus. I was talking to my dad about this earlier. He also works in space and is also a space nerd. So I had no choice. It was my destiny. He's like, I'm pretty sure you can melt lead on the surface of Venus. You can. You could. Yep. It melts lead.
It gets up to 450 C.
Venus. So that's like 900 degrees, right?
Yeah, it's 900 Fahrenheit. Yeah, lead melts at 621 Fahrenheit or 320.
Yeah, I think the Soviets, like, their record is like 150 minutes of operation or something before the thing just melts and crushes under pressure. Like, it's brutal.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I think it is something we should look into.
Definitely.
It will take a lot of engineering. Mm-hmm. And I think it'll be amazing engineering. And it'll be amazing to watch it happen.
One of the cool things is that the Europeans have that spacecraft on the way to Mercury right now, Bepi Colombo. And they're doing a Venus flyby in like 3 weeks. Like, that was completely unplanned. It's on course already. So they're going to be able to do some follow up.
Yeah. Awesome. No, I think that's going to be really cool. Cause especially cause if they know that's what they're looking for.
Right.
It'll be really neat. Like, the article those two guys wrote was amazing, but I don't think you can say it's for sure because of one article, but I don't want to make it sound like I'm discrediting the work of those two people.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It just needs to be taken in context, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's how you should look at, I think, any science.
Yeah, sure. I do think it's really interesting though. Like the fact that it was found at like concentration of 20 parts per billion which is thousands to millions times more than we expected. So I do think it's really interesting that what I'm talking about, the sulfuric, phosphine gas. Phosphine. The phosphine gas was found at that concentration, which was incredibly high. But also, Venus has the most volcanoes out of any planet in our solar system, and that's also a byproduct of volcanic activity. Mm-hmm. I think it's super interesting.
It is. So
We should explore Venus. Yeah, to be clear.
Yeah.
Let's go, but I don't know if that tips the scales. We'll see. Sorry, Venus people. I feel bad for you.
I know. I was like, I don't want it to make it sound like I don't like Venus. I love all the planets.
Yeah. There have been a lot of missions proposed over the years that have not, you know, gotten selected. I know, I want to say the last round got passed up for some asteroid missions, which are great. Asteroid, there's, you know, that can
benefit
us. Yeah,
the last discovery, right?
Yeah. But I think Venus is going to get its time now. This kind of helped, but you know, I mean, we know that there is a mission. Well, let's see. Japan has a spacecraft orbiting Venus right now, I think, right, Jake? Does that
Akatsuki,
sound?
Akatsuki, yeah.
Yep. Okay. Yep. All right. Just wanted to double check myself there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we know in a couple of years we're gonna have Rocket Lab. They're gonna send some spacecraft there. And you know, the CEO of the company, I talked to him earlier this week, and he's like, we don't want to just send one. We want to send you know, a whole like a bunch of them. So that's exciting. And, you know, it's private dollar and they're able to do it kind of less, you know, less costly, and it's not NASA. So NASA doesn't have to select the mission, because right now that at least in the US, that's what we've been waiting on, is for them to select a Venus mission. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they've been like, so it's funny. Do you listen to the Orbital Mechanics at all? It's a space podcast. They've been around for a while.
I have listened to them. Yes.
Yeah. So they had Peter Beck on like 3 weeks ago or something, and I had it in my queue, and I just like, I'm way behind in my podcast. So it was just kind of sitting there waiting for me. And then this Venus thing came out, and I was like, so I went back and listened to it. I finally got it up to the top of the queue. I bumped it to the top, and he was telegraphing it so bad. Cause like, you know, he'd already been talking to the scientists, Peter Beck, about the mission. And I'm like, oh man, he really, really wanted to talk about it, but it was all still embargoed. And so he couldn't.
Yeah.
He was just like, yeah, I think it's a great place. You know, where we've got a board of scientists that were just sort of floating some ideas by. I can't really talk about it right now. And I was like, oh man, if you had just known what was going to happen, this interview made a completely different context.
Yeah. So, I love when that happens though, because you'll be talking to, like, one of my favorite local astronomers or scientist to talk to, Humberto Campins. He's working on the OSIRIS-REx mission to the asteroid. And he always, every time there's something really cool coming out, he's like, well, we have to talk in a few weeks because I can't tell you now, but something really big is coming out. And, you know, he's just like on the edge. He wants to tell me. And then like sometimes, you know, he's just like, well, I could, no, I can't tell you. I'm like, okay, I'm going to follow up with you on the 20th and we're gonna find out what that was. Don't tell me. I don't want you to get in trouble.
Like, there's something about a scientist who knows something really cool, but they can't tell you yet. That reminds me, it just makes them, they go back to a state of like a little kid. Like it's just like
that. It's like having like a juicy piece like, of gossip. Yeah. You know?
I'm just like, I get it. It's just like, get so excited. You're like, I want to tell you, but I can't, but I want to tell you so bad.
Yeah.
It's like when I go to, I haven't been in a while, but the Lunar and Planetary Science Conference in Houston is like my favorite conference to go to. And yeah, you get a few of these planetary people under a couple of beers in them, you can get some pretty good stories of what's happening under the hood. And I wish I could say all the things I've heard from those places. So this embargo got broken though, right? That was kind of like a hot drama going on there. It was pretty funny because there was like one of the articles got leaked. I think it was like the space.com one or something. Someone found it on a Google cache or someone hit publish too early or something, but
it happens.
Yeah, it does.
It makes us all look bad.
You know,
it's one of my pet peeves because, you know, whenever there's a story coming out and it has an embargo, I'm like, this is written. I don't even put it on the internet. I will manually post it myself just to double, triple check.
Yeah.
Like, so
I got it on a flash drive in a lockbox.
Right. Yeah. Like locked away in a fireproof safe.
Yeah. It's funny because there was like about a lot of discussion about it too, which is like, you know, are embargoes good for science releases? Because it like generated a whole bunch of hype. And like now, even right now, we're still like putting out that fire. Like, listen, like it's not life. It's like, just like back up the truck a little bit. Right. And so it's like, are the embargoes good? But at the same time, I thought that it was like, this one was the right kind of science release to embargo because they got a hold of like really good science journalists ahead of time. You know, we had Nadia Drake was out there, Shannon Sterone. They were all pre-writing it and having the time and like the no pressure to be able to like ask the right questions and get it right. So when that release landed, there was like good data out there. Like there was good articles. Yes. And I was like, okay, that's why you have an embargo. Like that's good.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I kind of liked it at least this time.
But I also like, I mean, to me, maybe I'm biased. And to a sense, I love the fact that maybe these, like they, I love excitement about space and science and I just love seeing it. Like, I just think.
It definitely hit mainstream.
Yeah. And I just, anytime a science topic hits mainstream, I'm like, yeah.
When my aunt texts me the article, like, hey, did you see this? I'm like, okay.
Yeah. You're like, yeah, like it made it. Like,
yeah, it did.
I'm glad to know that happens to other people too. Because when you say that you write about space or you work, you know, in aerospace or something, people are always going to send you just stuff. Like, I'm always getting like, did you see about that asteroid that's probably going to kill us? I'm like, it's not going to. I don't need to look. I know.
We're getting a new asteroid friend. I just saw this today. There's like some little tiny thing that's going to get caught up in Earth's gravity for like 3 months or 6 months or something like that.
It's
like, yeah.
Are you talking about the one that's gonna fly by on like election day? That guy?
I don't know if it's the same one. There's one coming in October and it's gonna be like rrr, for like until like May and then it'll hit L3.
What was that? Can you do that again? What was that?
It's like rrr, rrr. Yeah. That's gonna be a GIF now somewhere. That's gonna show up to haunt me later.
But yeah. When someone in the comments said being a GIF is not a bad thing or something, and which is true. There are some great GIFs out there, but you know, knowing me,
I've been made into a few
good one. Yeah.
It's both flattering and terrifying.
Yeah. That's kind of a compliment.
So, what are you guys working on next? I want to know what stories you have in your forward facing cameras, your navigation cameras. If you're the Perseverance rover, I want to know what's ahead for all of you. Like, give us some good previews. Like what's some storylines you're chasing? Maybe we'll do Anna and Hannah first.
Hannah, you want to do it? This is your favorite topic.
So both Anna and I love the fall and we love Halloween and we love spooky vibes. So we decided to do spooky month for October. And our first episode is about Project Blue Book, which was the Air Force-led investigation in the 60s, the 50s and 60s, after all those UFO sightings. So there were thousands and thousands of UFO sightings that occurred during that time. And the U.S. Air Force got heavily involved with that, and that was through Project Blue Book. So we're really excited about that. We just recorded that, and it will hit everyone's queues first week of October. So
spooky timing.
Yeah, spooky timing. And then, Anna, do you want to talk about the second October episode that we have?
Yeah, so for the second one, we're going to do Area 51. Because it is, it really does exist. Yes. Anna, do you want to
really tell does exist.
You want to tell everybody what you told me the other day?
So apparently I was listening to this podcast a while ago, and I don't remember all of it. We still need to do the research. But Area 51 was like this huge government-led situation. And I read I heard in this podcast a long time ago that the working conditions there for the engineers and scientists were actually terrible. Like, they were exposed to carcinogens, and they were overworked, and they couldn't see their families. But we have to do the research, so please take what I'm saying with a grain of salt. I have not verified what this podcast said a long time ago, so
we used to Google Area 51.
Okay, and that was supposed to be something between us, the way that they're
under the bus. Share with the class.
I used to be obsessed with, like, what is Area 51, and can I get a job there? So I used to just repeatedly Google Area 51, hoping that my Google searches would be seen by the Area 51 people.
Oh.
This was one technique, but no. This was just like
thinking.
I just for a few hot minutes. It wasn't like a month long project.
It was yesterday.
We all need to have dreams. It's okay.
I think it's great.
This was in college. It was like a decade ago.
I don't think I've ever thought about that to be like, they'll find my Google searches. And then, no, I've never thought about that. But that's smart thinking, I think.
What you should have done is just pulled up like social media and just started talking, because then you'll start getting advertisements on apply to work at Area 51 here. Like, have you ever had that happen? That is freaky, right?
Like, have you ever like bought a gift for somebody else? And then you get advertisements indefinitely for
like
that
baby gifts
you did not buy for yourself.
Like, anytime I buy a baby gift, I'm getting coupons for, you know, diapers for months. It's crazy.
Yes.
Freaky.
Yeah. That's aggravating.
Yeah.
Joseph is typing Area 51 into the chat over and over again to see if he can get higher.
That's not going to work.
And you started a trend.
You started a trend.
Oh, God. Area this is not 51. How I wanted to be known on the internet.
I like the other comment we got from Benjamin, who says, are you going to pick rovers and probes you'd like to have come back from the dead?
Oh,
that's really spooky.
That's some A+ Halloween content right there.
Yeah.
Some A+ Halloween content out there.
Oh, my God. We have to keep that in mind for our season 3 Halloween episodes.
Yeah.
That's a really great idea.
That would be hard to choose.
I wanted to do like a really like high production value Halloween show one year, and I never remember to like get ahead of it in time. Like, it's already too late. Like, what I want to do is like, I should have started in like June. And maybe I'll put this one in a drawer somewhere.
We'll order your fog machine now and just, you know.
Yeah. That's great. Emily, what about you? Let's get some preview. What's coming down the pipes for you?
Let's see. So my podcast is still a baby podcast. So this coming week on Wednesday, I'll have my third episode that comes out. And it's about these large satellite constellations. Really interesting. I actually learned a lot about astronomers and the struggles they face with, you know, and I'm talking about like Starlink and things like that. Recently we just had a paper come out, really interesting. And I had what happened? Oh,
you left us very briefly, but you're back now.
Oh no, I'm sorry. Well, I said probably something really important, but
yeah, it was the best line for the whole show.
Oh no, that's weird. No, I was just saying, so that in the episode, I had been working on this about these large constellations for a while. And then in August, this paper came out talking about, you know, the impacts of the satellites. So I kind of held off on it until that came out so that I could include some of that. So I'm really excited about it. And we were talking about this before, but it includes me like walking around in my backyard talking to no one. And
stargazing. I hope you're ready for the Twitter barrage of because that is a battle lines kind of subject. Everyone has to have a real fiery opinion on it.
I'm hoping that everyone thinks I did a pretty good job because I was really nervous about it, and I got I feel like I have, you know, there's a lot of sides to this issue, but a lot of the companies are doing a good job and realizing that, you know, this is an issue, and it's, I don't know, my favorite local astronomer, Derek Demeter, he really helped me work through this. He works for Seminole State. And I really like his analogy that the night sky should be considered like a national park. And, you know, we don't want to junk it up or whatever. We wouldn't want to leave trash, you know, on a national park. And I like kind of thinking of that. And it also made me, you know, walking around in my backyard by myself, trying not to step on dog poop. I realized how crappy my view of the night sky just is. You know, I live pretty close to downtown Orlando, and I could probably count the stars on, you know, like maybe two hands. But, you know, so it's you kind of, and of course, during the pandemic, like everyone's camping and doing stuff, and it really makes you realize just how awesome it is if you live in a place where you have a great view of the night sky. So anyway, so that's what's coming next. For me, and then other than that, we're focused on commercial crew. The next launch is coming up.
That's coming up. That's like,
we're gonna launch some more people.
A few weeks,
so it's
right?
gonna be pretty exciting. Yeah, in October. So
when?
Oh, when? It's October 23rd, I believe. Yeah,
that's like a month. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's exciting.
One of the things, like, full credit to SpaceX. One of the best things they've done is made things that we would have thought are amazing just completely routine. So routine that like we forget about it. Like, we were just talking about this in the off nominal Discord. Like, we just like forgot about some launch they're doing. It's like, oh, SpaceX is launching today. That's like, oh yeah, they're gonna land some booster five times in a row. Whatever, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
Yeah, that is really cool.
And the fact that like here, you know, at Cape Canaveral, we have, it's like a normal sighting to see a rocket booster come floating down the jetty, and you know,
in rockets.
Yeah, it's like it's just this toasty booster just coming on down, and that's what you have to look at. Really cool.
All right. Well,
I'm so sorry.
Wait. Oh,
no. Yeah.
I was going to say, Jake, you also need to tell us what you're working on as well. Anna.
Okay. Anna, you go first, and then I'm gonna say a thing.
I'm just somebody asked a comment about cryo engines, and I really like cryo engines. cryo engines are commonly used at upper stages, and it just means that both the propellant and the oxidizer cannot be liquid at room temperature. So the Saturn V, most common, I think, besides liquid oxygen, is that you need your oxidizer, you need is liquid hydrogen. And what's cool about cryo tanks, just period, is the fact that when you have a cryo tank, is it always has to be venting. Because when you have a cryo liquid, it always boils off. And if you don't have a vent on that tank, pressure will increase. And as pressure increases, boiling point goes down. So you increase your pressure, your liquid boils faster and faster and faster and faster and faster, and you have a bomb. So if you have a
cryo engine,
they're just cool. And it's neat that in order to have a tank filled with liquid, you always have to have it open. So,
you have to have a line venting that boil off.
That's awesome. You guys should have a podcast where you talk about
Yeah, now we need a full history of cryogenic propellants now. That's the next
That's the next. Somebody asked, and I was like, that's a great question.
No, that's great. I'm glad you saw that. That's awesome. All right, Jake, what's happening with you? What are you working on?
Can I confide a little bit in you guys?
To us and the internet?
Nobody else listening.
Yeah, and the entire internet. I'm kind of striking out lately. I think I've sent like 12 or 13 interview requests in the last like 6 weeks, and like I'm being ghosted. It's like a bad date right now.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what's coming up. I know what I want. but we're still working through that. So that's the top secret thing happening to me right now. Well, and I'm hoping that there's someone out there with like something really important to say that's like a listener, and they're like, oh, I will be on your podcast. And then
call me. All right. So if you're listening and Jake has contacted you, please email him back. ASAP. Email, yeah. He's feeling very lonely.
Especially like the ones that I really want, where I sent you an email and a Twitter DM and like I was on your LinkedIn creeping. Like that's you gotta listen in. No, but there's like a ton of stuff. Like we just finished Summer of Mars, which is like, you know, for a Mars podcast I'm exhausted still, I think, a little bit. And then we did like the Humans to Mars Summit, like hit right at the end of it. And I decided to do that for the first time. So that was like, I took a week off and it was just like Mars all the time. So I'm like kind of tired, but it's like not going to be like the landings for Perseverance and the other stuff arriving at Mars is like not that far away. It's like 4 months. Like I got to start thinking about that now too. So that's probably what the big focus will be, is getting ready for that. Decadal survey is going to control my life probably for 2021, so we'll see how that goes. But yeah, there's some cool stuff. And then I'm looking ahead at like what I want to do beyond We Martians and Off Nominal. Wow. So you know, like at the end of last year I did this whole like going pro thing where I left my career to try and do this more seriously, and it's been a process. Awesome, it's going great. Thank you. It's going really well, and I've sort of transformed my life a little bit. But it's a process. That's why it's going pro and not gone pro. But yeah, so I'm looking ahead to like what is the next thing I want to do, whether it's a new podcast or like some sort of short series or video, or I don't even know yet. I'm still at the high
level.
You should
write a book. Really, so. Everyone else I know is writing a book.
Yeah, I would love to write a book. I don't know if I have that kind of discipline though. That is like some serious.
Sounds really hard.
Yeah, it does sound hard.
It does.
I need like accountability. I need an editor. I got to get someone who's going to like call me and be like, where are you with this, man?
Yeah. I was at a space related, like pre coronavirus. So it was a space related, like get together with communications people and stuff. And I was standing in a circle with like five people and they were all writing books. And I was like, I'm not writing a book. What am I doing? Should I be writing? What would I even write about? Like, I don't know. Should I be writing a book? Like,
as long as you can put it in audiobook format, then someone will listen to it. So you may as well. And you can self-publish these days. It's really easy.
Yeah,
you can.
Maybe I could do a children's book. I feel like that's doable.
There was like some like Medium article about like how to publish a book on Amazon and for $30 and 10 hours. Like it's like easiest thing. You're like, just write, it needs to be like 90 pages. Just make it really small and just throw it out there and then someone will buy it.
So, yeah. It's like, I was watching something and somebody was like, I have a song on iTunes, but the thing you don't know is anybody can have a song on
iTunes. Yeah. It's just like the podcasting thing. When we had our first episode done and we were ready to launch, I was like, okay, how do I put this on the internet? Like, how do I make this go to places? And then I learned how to do it. And I was like, it's really not that hard. Like anyone can do this.
The criteria is, I think you need to have, they said a high quality logo. So I think they just mean it can't be super pixelated and you need to have one episode. I think that was it.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was going to be like unlocking the internet when I uploaded something to Apple Podcasts. I don't know.
That's the cool thing about podcasts. It's like, it's just old RSS technology. Like it's not even really.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. It's pretty low tech, but.
Anne and I still freak out and we're like, oh my gosh, we have a podcast on Spotify. This is crazy.
Yeah. I like asking my Alexa to play it. I'm like, I'm amazing.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So we're getting close to the end here. I think we should probably get into some picks. What do you think?
I'm so excited.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Is someone really excited that they want to go first?
I can go first. I'm excited.
All right. You're the volunteer.
Okay, I cheated a little bit and neither of mine are space related, but I have fallen in love with this British game show that you can find on Netflix, YouTube, not Netflix, called Countdown. And it is number and word games. So you get 6 or 9 letters and you have to make the biggest word you can make that's in the Oxford English Dictionary in 30 seconds. Or you get 6 numbers and you have 30 seconds to add up to the random number that's generated.
That's crazy.
And I am okay at the letters. I am not embarrassingly bad, but I'm not great. But the numbers, I love it. To the point that at work, I told somebody, I was like, sometimes I just play that to relax. Like, if you find things on the internet to generate it for you automatically. Like, and I told somebody that, and somebody went, and my coworker just went, oh.
Which that's great. Like, that sounds fun. So it's on YouTube?
That, you can find it on YouTube. It's called Countdown. And I love it. I love to play it. It's so fun. And then the numbers are done. Like, she puts them up by this woman named Rachel Riley, who is my favorite person. She does them live. So she will do the math and solve them live there in front of you. And she, it's truly incredible how much she knows. So I love Countdown. And then my other one is a podcast that's actually, they haven't put episodes out in a long time, but it's called More Perfect. And it was a, thank you.
That's great.
It's a podcast called More Perfect, and it's a breakdown of different cases of the Supreme Court or groups of cases. It was pretty popular a couple years ago. It was an offshoot of Radiolab. Mm-hmm. But the one I wanted to call out in particular was they did an episode about what Ruth Bader Ginsburg yes. did to get women's equality. And I wanted to call it out because I don't, Hannah and I would probably be unable to have the jobs we have today if without the work she had done to make that possible.
Yeah. I've listened to that series. It's really good. So I will second that. And her episode is like amazing because it's like, I'm trying to remember the details now, but isn't it basically like she like dupes yes. them into fighting the wrong fight so that when yes. they win, it's actually her winning? Like it's like crazy,
yeah,
like so, underhanded, like amazing parry of legal. I don't even know the stuff, but yeah, I'm gesticulating yeah. wildly on a podcast, but yeah, it's really good. Second she and fought- thirded.
Oh yeah, she fought for gender equality. Instead of saying women are unequal in this situation, she found a situation where men were actually being shafted.
Yeah, and multiple like, hey, situations man, where men were being
men are being cheated shafted. Here, and fought for it, being like, you need to take gender equality more seriously. Men are losing out in this case.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like ways. Something like in a certain town, women were allowed to buy alcohol at 18, but men were considered too irresponsible, and they had to wait till they were 21.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh wow.
I know. It's one. Called More Perfect.
More Perfect.
More.
That's a good one.
Perfect.
That's yeah, they go through like every like amendment and like tell a story about it. It's a great
yes.
show. Yeah.
That's it's awesome. Really beautifully done. I don't think they put new episodes out for maybe a year, but yeah. the ones that are on there I think are 100% worth a listen.
Yeah. Well, we should yeah. I hope they release more episodes.
Me too.
They're running out of really amendments, new. But
but they're they all did like a more.
There was a later season where they did like music. It was like, okay. It was like, I was
like music copyright or something, or like, how was it?
They like put out a contest where it was like, write a song and record it about one of the amendments. And then they like started playing all these songs. And like, some of them were, I don't know, it's like kind of geeky, like make a song about the Fourth Amendment. And you're like, okay. but yeah.
That wasn't, I still listen to it. It wasn't, it's not, I didn't love it as much as their original set of episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Hannah?
I also have two picks. So one is Away on Netflix. So it's the show with Hilary Swank, and she's the commander of a Mars mission. And I absolutely love it. And I love Hilary Swank. I love the... how good the actors are at how like every small, you'll notice it within 10 minutes of watching the first episode, how every small like fidget or every glance speaks volumes. Like their acting is amazing and it shows the interpersonal quirks between the interpersonal relations between the different astronauts. The actors do such a good job at it. So I really like that show. And then I watched a YouTube video of Hilary Swank going to NASA and meeting two astronauts, Karen Nyberg and Jessica Meir.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
She did a cartwheel in Mission
yeah.
Control.
Yeah, she did.
Video. It's a really good video.
It was awesome. Have you finished the series, Hannah?
No, not yet. It's like, I just it is a commitment. Oh, you did. You finished it. Oh, I just finished so it. Good. It's so good.
Yeah. It's really good. Yeah.
Okay. Can I ask then? Because I'm two episodes in and like I'm gonna keep watching it, but I'm kind of lukewarm on some of the astronaut relationship dynamics right now. I'm trying not to spoil it, but like, I don't know. Okay. I'm like, I kind of put off a little bit. Does it get better?
So, Hannah, how many episodes in are you? Because maybe you can
back me up on this. Four episodes.
Okay. So I was kind of the same. Okay. So I was kind of the same with you, Jake. Like when it first started, I was like, okay, is this going to be more about like social emotional stuff or what? But as the season progressed, I really think that every episode was better than the last. Like, okay. It probably goes without saying the last episode is the best, but you know, that's how a season finale goes. But it is worth it to stick around. And there's like, I don't even like, there's so many episodes that made me cry. Like, it's so emotional. And it's just
where, where she's getting into the rocket to go to Mars. I don't think that's a spoiler. That's the entire
show. The premise of the show, guys, is they're going to Mars. Sorry, spoiler alert.
They played a song by Manchester Orchestra and I just like started crying. It was just
the music in the show is really, really good. They did a really good job with just song selection and just key moments. It's so good.
Really beautiful.
Yeah. There's Jake, there's an episode that you'll really enjoy, and I'm not gonna give anything away by saying that they do this, but they use Mars Insight to detect a sonic boom. And once you see that episode, I want you to get back to me and tell me if you think what you think about it. So. Oh my God.
My NASA Insight shirt I'm wearing.
That's awesome. Right, amazing.
Yeah. And I love that when, and I don't know if you guys are the same way, like when you're watching a science show or a space show and they use like real life missions and technology. And I'm not sure what year this is supposed to be. Do you guys know like what year the show takes place in?
I have no idea.
Actually, that's a good question. I do not know.
It's gotta be like 2030s because
there's
China's friendly.
Are they? In the show? I don't know. You'll see. I don't want to give anything away. So
it's a good show. I like it a lot.
It's good. Really good.
My second pick was Kurzgesagt. I hope I'm saying that correctly. It's a German. It's produced by this German animation studio, and it's a YouTube series. Kurzgesagt, and they create these short, beautiful videos on space. Actually, everything. So they'll talk about wormholes, black holes, alien life, and they'll also do an occasional episode on just personal introspection, so such as like dissatisfaction or loneliness. But they're primarily a science and technology series, and it's amazing, like absolutely incredible. I love all the episodes. They do such a great job, and they recently came out with a gratitude journal. So I actually got that, and it's all about like how there's been a lot of studies that have gone into different sorts of psychotherapy approaches, and one is journaling freely and then one is journaling gratitude. And apparently the studies have shown that if you journal gratitude more so than journaling freely, it has greater benefits on your mental health. And I was like, oh, that's so interesting. But they're primarily a science and technology series. I love it. It's really great.
That's awesome.
Would recommend.
Awesome.
Exactly.
They did one about the space elevator, I think, that we
We referenced it.
Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Oh, wow.
I think I've seen.
It's amazing.
Yes. I've seen one of these videos. Now that I'm like looking at the art style and stuff, they did one on, I want to say they did one on Mars Hope.
They did the Mars Base.
Mars Base, yes. Mars right, Base. It's right there.
That one, yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing because they've packed in so much information in 10 minutes.
Yeah. Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
We have to check those out.
Okay, cool. All right. Emily, what do you got?
Well, I was going to also mention Away because I just finished I just finished it. But there is another show that I just started like last week that – it's super sci-fi and it's on HBO, Raised by Wolves. Have you guys heard of this show? Is anybody out there? No. So the premise is that these androids, like robots, but they look like humans, have been sent to an exoplanet with like, I don't know, it's like eggs, like babies or something to raise children. And so that's kind of the premise of the show. So it's very super like far out there sci-fi, and I just started it and it's pretty interesting. And so I don't know if like I want to really recommend it yet, but but it's like, but it's enough. Terrible. I'm like the first episode was really long, and I kind of was thinking like, is this going to be the, like, is this one episode? Like, or is this a movie? Wait a minute. So now I have to continue to watch to see how they, you know, further along this, but it's interesting. I'm trying to remember the name of the exoplanet, and I don't know if somebody might be commenting, but I think it's Kepler 22B, maybe. I don't know. Anyway,
something like that.
Yeah, it sounds like it's yeah. So it's kind of interesting. What else do I got? And the other thing was, I know I mentioned this in my podcast fail earlier, that I interviewed astronaut Terry Virth's like last week or the week before, and he has a new book that's out. It's called How to Astronaut, and it has some really funny, awesome stories in there that you would not expect to hear, you know. So that's my other recommendation. But yeah. What about you, Jake? What you got?
Okay, so I have a super geeky one. Like, you need to be next level.
Let's do this one.
So this is a space policy book, and more specifically, a space policy project management policy book.
Oh, interesting.
It's an old one. It's called Faster, Better, Cheaper. And it's by Howard McCurdy. Yeah. And it's about the Faster, Better, Cheaper planetary program that NASA was trying to do in the 90s for Mars missions. Because Viking was really, really expensive and they wanted to go faster and do more. And so it's like, I can't emphasize how much this is like, well, here is some data about how as you ramp up spacecraft size, you get increased complexity and how it translates into cost and how many people you should have on your team and whether they should meet in one room or they should work from home. Like, it's like completely operational goo, which I love. Like, it's like my favorite thing to geek out about. So me and like the two other people listening who are like, oh yeah, I like that too. That's the book for you.
You were going to say something really geeky. In my head, I was like, all right, I never would have guessed that, ever.
Like, you need to be a special kind of geek to, like, not be able to put this book down. Like, it's something else. So
you're special.
I am special.
You can handle it.
I read it for a purpose. So I wanted to learn about, actually, I should, full disclosure, not quite done yet, but I'm close. But yeah, like, it's just, I wanted to understand about cheap missions because it's like a big topic of debate right now. There's all the different planetary missions are like blowing their cost caps out of the water. Like, this Dragonfly mission is a New Frontiers one, which is supposed to be capped at $1 billion. It's going to be two, like it's going to double the budget. Perseverance ended up like twice as much as it was supposed to be. They're supposed to be like, oh yeah, we'll just reuse all these Curiosity spare parts we got in the garage and it'll be like a B and a half or something, and it was not. And then even like these little Discovery ones, which are supposed to be the cheap missions, are like starting to push $1 billion. And so there's like a lot of questions right now about like, can we do stuff tiny and cheap and fast? And I'm like, hey, we've tried that and I want to learn. I want to know how they did it and whether it was good or not. So it's part of my self-education, but that's where I'm at.
It kind of reminds me of like the evolution from giant weather satellites and CubeSats. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like a very, I think it'll be interesting to watch the actual launch industry kind of go on a similar path.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and NASA's even starting to do it with these simplex missions, right? These like smaller planetary stuff. And it's bad news, but there was news about the ESCAPADE mission to Mars recently, which is like this little weather spacecraft, and they got bumped off their rideshare. They were going to go with Psyche, Lucy. I can't remember which one of those asteroid missions.
Worst when your Uber cancels.
Yeah, it's brutal, right? So they were going to rideshare, but I guess they need the full Falcon Heavy to do all the Delta Vs. And so they got bumped, but they're going to go somewhere else. We'll see where it is. But like, these are like little cheap missions that you can do to iterate technology quickly and go. So yeah, we'll see. That's what I'm watching. Maybe. That's another thread of themes in my future podcasting schedule. Awesome. How's that?
I love the commenters on this show because it seems like they know more than we do. So it was Psyche that it was going to go with, someone has said. And Kurt says it was Kepler-22b when I was talking about Raised by Wolves. So I think that's what I said. Not sure, but maybe. Anyways.
Yeah. I think so. I just, I want to call Benjamin Heron, who called out, or actually Joseph, who called out the conundrum. Yes, exactly. Like a countdown, the last thing is they do the countdown conundrum. So Joseph knows what I'm talking about.
Awesome. Yeah. I think there may be some Brits in the audience there. So you might have some.
It's a great show you guys got. There.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
Cool. I don't really have much else. You guys want to go on the horn and just talk about how people find you. Let's hear like where, if they're like, I really want to listen to But It Is Rocket Science now, how do they find you on the internet?
Well, we hope you want to listen. You can find us on your favorite podcasting streaming service. It's But It Is Rocket Science. And then you can find us on Twitter at But It Is RS. I actually think both Hannah and I have that in our little name cards. Then you can find us on Instagram at But It Is Rocket Science. And then if you go to our website, if you want to contact us, give us ideas for future episodes, want to tell us you like the podcast, you can go to our website, But It Is Rocket Science, and go to the contact us page. Let us know you're out there.
What do you put on your Instagram? I'm talking shopping.
Don't actually have an Instagram. Emily, I don't think you do for your podcast.
No.
Sometimes we put actual like videos of the episodes we're releasing, and sometimes we post throwback pictures from when we could go get brunch together.
That's right. There's one image in particular where we're both sitting around a cinnamon bun that always makes me hungry when I look at it.
Yeah, that's great.
There's the one where we both dressed up like aliens for Yuri's night.
That's right. That was fun.
Yeah. And we,
what kind of aliens? Like, describe your alien for me.
Hannah, we both had galaxy outfits.
We did.
We did some pretty fun makeup. We were generic brand, I would say, Xenon girl of the 21st century.
Yes. Nice. Yes. That's the best way to put it.
I think
that's
so.
Good.
You can go to our Instagram.
That's great.
Emily?
So I totally failed and forgot to put my Twitter handle on there. but anyways, it's at EMSpec. And you can find all my podcasts. It's called Space Curious on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts. What am I missing? All the other podcast places. And I also write articles with every episode, and you can find those at clickorlando.com/space. And I have a newsletter that comes out every Wednesday that corresponds with the podcast. So if you get my space newsletter, you'll also just get the podcast in your inbox. And you can also subscribe to that at clickorlando.com/space. And you're right. I don't have a Twitter handle for the podcast yet or an Instagram. It's still a new baby project. So we'll see if I'm ready to handle that as well, since it would be me dealing with it. So.
It's like a lot of work. I used to have an Instagram. Fair play. I used to have one. And I just like, it was just so much work. And I'm like, I'm trying to build this up, and I'm like a podcast. I'm like, what am I gonna put a picture of? And I'm by myself, so I can't just put a picture of myself eating brunch. It was not gonna work.
you could.
We would be the target audience for those posts. So
yeah,
you would have at least 3 likes.
True.
Yeah.
I have to like figure out like how much of the audience actually cares who I am and how much of them just want to listen to the science and stuff. So
yeah,
and that's probably a me problem. So I need to just figure that out.
This is a one last question I have to ask. Is anybody on TikTok other than just to watch the videos? That's what I want to know.
No, I haven't even downloaded TikTok. I'm too scared and I'm going to like it too much.
Well, I downloaded it and I just watched the videos because I was in a chat with people who kept sharing the videos. And finally I was like, all right, fine, I'm going to do it. But I am not making TikTok videos. Okay.
It's not.
You have to be like, here is the space station. And then you have to like.
I also,
well, you know,
I,
who
TikTok dance?
Go ahead, space station.
No, I feel like I like look at TikTok and they're all just, this is my TikTok dance. They're all so well done that I get really intimidated. I'm like, oh no.
It is super intimidating. Like, they're really good choreographed dance. And the good ones that I see, I'm like, oh, these are professional dancers. That's why it's so good. And then you see people trying to repeat them, and I'm like, whoa, that's amazing.
They're so good. Yes. And anyways. I am not. But Hen is a great dancer.
Oh my gosh.
You should get on TikTok. Do it.
It's just, I feel like it'd be a dangerous vortex for me. I think the best way to self-control that is to just not put it on my phone.
That describes social media to a key, for sure. Well,
and I've heard that like the TikTok algorithm is like hyper-surgical. Like it figures you out fast sucks you in. Like it's
so
like
it knows it's that I'm just creeping level. And watching other people's videos and not contributing. Are you telling me?
Yeah, you'll pull up one video, like, oh, this is a cool video, and then it's like, now I know who you are.
You watch one puppy video, and now it's just nonstop.
God. Some of those algorithms, you're like kind of scared, but at the same point, you're like, I do want that.
Yeah, but also impressed. Yeah.
Yes. You're impressed. You like the convenience, but then also very scared.
Yeah.
Well, that is a great place to end it.